Good evening, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf vav. We are holding on the bottom of daf hey amid beis, right? Is that what we're up to? Yeah. And today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, anonymous wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously by friends of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit, zichrono levracha, in commemoration of his second yard site. Harav Baruch Tzvi Ben Ruvei Nassan, zichrono levracha, his neshama should have an aliyah. Anyone who knew him knows what a special neshama he was. And the neshama should have an aliyah. It's also, just to mention, in honor of Moreinu Hagon Rav Shechter's 80th birthday, Yigia Legvuros, and Halavai should have many, many more years and decades of being Madrich Kol Yisrael. So we are holding on the bottom of Daf, Hey Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to first discuss whether Shi'urim are in fact Araisa, because the last thing we said was Shi'ur Chatzitzin and Mechitzin are Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. So is it Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, or is it Araisa? Is it straight from a Pasuk? So that's the first thing we're going to discuss. Now we're going to discuss Mechitzin and Chatzitzin. Well, first chatzitza, then mechitza. Whether chatzitza is d'oraisa or only halach l'moshe m'sinai, and then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have a machlokas. How many of the walls of the sukkah? How many walls does the sukkah need to have? And we're going to have a machlokas whether it's two and change or three and change. And we're going to have five different explanations of what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is when it comes to how many walls the sukkah needs to have. So let's begin. We're holding at, I guess we'll just read that line again, because it's an important line. Dam Rav Chibur Rashi Amarav, Shi'urin, Chatzitzin, Umechitzin, Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. That all the Shi'urim in the Torah, the dinim of Chatzitza, when it comes to going to the mikveh, and the dinim of Mechitza, when it comes to Erevin and to sukkah, those halachos are all Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. The Gemara is going to elaborate that they're not all Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, but we'll see which elements of them are Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Now the Gemara at the end of Yuma tells us Shi'urin Shal Onshin is Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, but Achayim Romrin Beis Dino Shal Yaivutz Tiknum. So the Gemara says, but it says Eila HaMitzvah Shein Rashi Shein Navi Rashi L'Chadish Dov Me'ata. How could you say anyone was Masakin Shi'urim Shal Onshin? You're not allowed to be Mechadish Nu Dinim in the Torah. El Shachum Chazu V'Yastum, that they were forgotten, and then Osniel Ben Knaz reinstituted those Dinim. So the Brisker Rav explains in his Kuntros on Yuma that based on what the Gemara says in Temura, that in the days of the Evel of Moshe Rabbeinu, a lot of halachos were forgotten, and Asniel ben Kenaz was machzirim bipilpulo. So Lukuli Alma, Shirum Shalonshin, was halach l'Moshe M'Sinai. It's just that according to the Tanakama, they're among the halachos that were never forgotten, b'mei Evlo Shal Moshe, says the Brisker Rav. It's pure halach l'Moshe M'Sinai. It was never forgotten at any point. Whereas the Acherim hold, no, these are among the halachos that, yes, they were Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, but then they were forgotten b'Yimei Avlo Shel Moshe, and Asniel ben Kenaz was Machzirim B'Pilpulo, says Brisker Rav, L'may Nafka Mina, right? Who cares whether they were forgotten and brought back, or they just remained Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai through and through the whole time? Says Nafka Mina is what the Rambam writes in the first paragraph of Hilchos Mamrim, that by Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, the Rambam writes, and he writes in the Akhtamas B'Rishim Mashayas as well, you never have Machlokes by Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. So says Brisker Rav, that's only if it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai that was never forgotten along the way. But if it was a Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai that was forgotten, then you could have a machlokas. Because the Rambam's whole point of that you can never have a machlokas by Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai is about the strength of the Masorah, that the Masorah was never ever lost. Well, by definition, if you can say that they were forgotten, then you know that the Masorah on those halachos was lost, and therefore it is subject, at least for some time, and therefore it is subject to machlokas. Another point, in the Tshuvas HaRash in Klal Tazayin, he says the fact that a boy becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 13 and becomes a bar onshin at the age of 13 and not before that, that's part of shiur and chatzitzin mechitzin halach l'moshe m'sinai. I mean, that's also a shiur. It's a shiur of an age at what point he becomes chayv and mitzvahs and he becomes a bar onshin. Or for example, the idea that only when a girl is 3 years old do we assume that her bia counts as bia, that less than that it's not considered a bia. It's like nosin etzba ba'ayin, where the tear comes out and it just re-tears. It just replaces itself. Or the idea that a 9-year-old boy be also bia and not less. So the din of a sris, and up until 20 years, up until the age of 20, he's considered a katan. And beyond the age of 20, if he has simani sris, he's a gadol. And otherwise, until he's 36 years old, he's rov shnosev, he's not going to be gadol. All of these things, says the Rush, are all halach l'moshe m'sinai. These are all part of shiurim being halach l'moshe m'sinai. So says the Gemara, is that really true? Shiurim d'oraisa ninu, but isn't shiurim a din d'oraisa? Maisa, Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says when it talks about the great Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah describes Eretz Chitos, Arav, Gevin, Atein, Rimon, Eretz Yishem, and Udvash, all of the meaning that Eretz Yisrael is praised with. Va'amar Avchanin, Kala Pasuk Hazel, the Shiurin Emar. Every word in that Pasuk alludes to a different Shir in Halacha, that they all have something to do with the Shir and Halacha. Rav Shlomo Kluger raises the question, it's quoted in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer in Or Chaim Siman Kuf Mem, that even if Shirim are derived from a Pasuk, you're still going to need Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, because without the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, I would have said that Rubo Kikulo, meaning we have a principle in Torah called Rubo Kikulo. So I would have said, you know what you need to do to fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah? Eat Rov Kizayis of Matzah, and then say Rubo Kikulo. So what's the Gemara's kash over here that the Gemara is saying, how could you say it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? That we have it from Pasuk, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, if I only had the Pasuk, I would have said Rubo Kikulo. Maybe I need Halacha L'Moshe Misinai to tell me that you need Kulo Mamish. So why doesn't the Gemara think of that answer? So says Chasam Sofer, because it's an incorrect answer. That even without the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, we would have known not to apply the principle of Rubo Kikulo. When do we say Rubo Kikulo? That's when it's Kulo Bifaneinu. When you have the whole item in front of us, so then when you have Rov of it, it's as if you had Kulo. Where do we have that? Like by the Sanhedrin. So what happens is that you have a Sanhedrin of Chav Gimel and they take a vote. Someone is up, is standing trial. So it's a 13 to 10 vote to convict or to acquit, whichever direction. So we say that the Sanhedrin has voted to convict. Sanhedrin didn't vote to convict, only 13 of them. Rubo Kikulo, the majority voted, and that's as if it's all of them. But that, if, let's say only 13 judges show up that day, then it's an invalid psak. You need all of them to be there. Only when you have all of them there do you say Rubo Kikulo. Same is true with the Davar Shabbat Kedusha, that if seven people didn't hear Kaddish or Baruch Hu, then the miut is Nimshach Achar Rov, and they could say Kaddish or Baruch Hu. But if you have only seven people show up, then you don't say a Davar Shabbat Kedusha. You don't say Rubo Kikulo. Only when you have a minion, then you say, okay, so the Rov is like Kol. But he Pachs Mikshir, to be Tavul Pachs Mikshir, because of Rubo Kikulo, Lo Shamanu, says some suffer. We never heard of such a thing. We do not apply the principle of Rubo Kikulo, and therefore the Gemara's question stands. So what the Gemara is asking right now is, how can you say that Shiur Mar Alech Moshe Misinai? Here we have explicit, it's a pasuk in the Torah that Rav Chanin explains is teaching us all about different Shiurim for different halachos in the Torah. What are the different Shiurim? Number one, Chita, the pasuk talks about wheat. What Shiur relates to wheat? Labayis HaMenuga. It relates to the halacha of Tumas Tzaras on a house. Ditnan, HaNichlas Labayis HaMenuga. A person goes into a house that has tzaras on it, so the halacha is you become tameh by going into the house, and your clothing becomes tameh when you go into the house. So let's say v'kelev al ksefav, you're holding your clothing on your shoulders, v'sandalav v'tabosu biyado, you're holding in your hands, you're holding your shoes, and you're holding your rings. Hu v'hein tameh in miyad. Then everything is tameh right away. As soon as it enters the house, the person, the items of clothing, they all become tameh right away. But hayolavush kelev v'sandalav. But let's say you're not holding your clothing, you're wearing the clothing, you're wearing the shoes, you're wearing your rings, then hu tame miyad, you become tame right away. But vehein tahor mat sheyesh b'kedeich lius pras paschitim lo pasor and meisav yochel b'liftan. But they remain tahor until you remain in the house for the amount of time that it would take a normal person to eat, or the amount of time that it takes a person to eat a half a loaf of paschitim, that's chitin, of wheat bread, not pasor, not barley bread, and if you're eating it in a relaxed setting, mesav, the way you would normally eat in a kavua fashion, and eating it with a little bit of something that goes together with the food. Now, the Achronim have an interesting raya from this, from this discussion. So thinking about giving time an halacha on the topic. Do you need Shabbos shoes? Right, the halacha is a person has to wear big day Shabbos. Does a person have to wear Shabbos shoes? So growing up, I always knew, you had two pairs of shoes. You had your weekday shoes, two pairs of shoes and a pair of sneakers. You had your weekday shoes, right, they didn't call weekday. School shoes, Shabbos shoes, and sneakers. Right, that was the footwear that we always had. But is there really such a din that you need to to have Shabbos shoes. So they bring a raya from this Gemara in the Chuvah Shvus Yaakov in Chelek Aleph Simon Chav Dalet brings a raya that a woman who's makabel on herself not to wear begadim that she normally wears on Yom Tov, so she's usher to wear rings that she would normally, jewelry that she would normally only wear on Yom Tov, because taba'os are bechlal begadim. You see that from our Gemara, and you also see that shoes are bechlal malbush, because after all, our Gemara says hayolavush kelev, a sandal of bragav, a taba'os of esvosav, that all of these things have the same din as the clothing. So since they have the same din as the clothing, it must be that they're considered to be clothing. So that's what the Shvus Yaakov tries to suggest. In Tshuvah Shar Ephraim, in Simon Kluv Chavdal, Shar Ephraim was asked, let's say someone made a commitment to provide someone else a wardrobe, to be malbish another person, right? He takes Mahu Afata seriously, and he says a bracha every morning, that Kodesh Baruch was malbish Arumim, so he decides that he's going to be malbish Arumim. I know a guy like this, calls me up before every Yantiv, can you find me a family that needs clothing, that doesn't, that's unable to afford clothing for Yantiv? I want to be malbish Arumim, I want to be malbish the whole family. So I can tell you, that guy Paskins, the guy who calls me, he Paskins, shoes are included. But the question is, la halacha, are shoes included? So the Shar Ephraim has a tshuva about this, and he says, you don't have to provide them with shoes, because mena'alim, shoes are not considered a beged. What do you do with our Gemara? The Shvos Yaakov has a raya from our Gemara. So in Gilyone Ashas, Rav Yosef Engel, in Gilyone Ashas and Brachos, says, nah, it's not a raya at all. Adraba, the Lashon of our Gemara is a raya fakert. Because what does the Gemara say? That lavush kelev, lavush is all the other clothing. Why does it then have to say the sandal of Braglev? We already said he's lavush kelev. Elamai, sandal of Braglev is not called the malbush. That's not called clothing. So nafkamina would be whether you need Shabbos shoes. So because you have to wear big day Shabbos. So is it called a beged? Is our shoes considered to be a beged? I wrote about this once. There are like eight rayas from all over Shas and Poskim about whether Shabbos shoes are considered Shabbos shoes or not. But that's one of the rayas. One of the rayas is our Gemara. So okay. So how much time does it take till the tumah hits the clothing that you're wearing? The amount of time that it takes to eat a pras pas chitin velo pas saorin mesa va'ochel b'liftan. So Minchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel that when it comes to other isurim, we would base it based on each and every type of food, the shir achila of that food. Meaning, if a person eats nevela, so he has to eat a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras in order to be punished, right? In order to be chayiv. So a kazayis of nevela meat in the amount of time that it takes to eat pras pas chitin, is that what it is? So it says Minchas Chinuch, no, a kazayis of nevela meat in the amount of time that it would take to eat a pras of nevela meat, of that same meat, of that food that he's eating. The only thing is over here, he's not eating anything. We're just using this as a measurement of how long, of a measure of time of how long he has to be in the house. So the objective food that we choose is pas chitin. But when there's an actual food in the picture that he's eating, so then we measure based on that food that he's eating. That's the discussion that the Achronim have when it comes to mitzvahs. If a person is trying to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, so you have to have a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras. So what does that mean? A kazayis of matzah within the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras pas chitin, or the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras of matzah? So Minchas Chinuch writes, a pras of matzah, not a pras of pas chitin. Mishabura is cholik. Mishabura disagrees, thinks that there is an objective measure. And in fact, there are all different shitos in Achronim of how to measure kadei achilas pras by minutes, because the post we never mentioned minutes. So Minchas Chinuch says it's not by accident that they didn't mention minutes, because there is no number of minutes. It all depends on the type of food that you're eating. But a lot of the other poskim assume that there are a particular number of minutes that you have to wait. The Chassam Sofer writes that it's 9 minutes. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch Harav writes that it's 8 minutes. The Aruch Liner says that it's an eighth of an hour, which is like 7.5 minutes. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's about 6 or 7 minutes. Samach Tzedek says that it's 6 minutes. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan says that it's 5 minutes. The Kaf HaChaim says that it's somewhere between 4 and 5 minutes. The Marchesha says it's about 3 minutes. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva in Aruch Chaim Chelev Dalet Siman Mem Alef that the shear of 9 minutes is not mistaver at all. That's way too long. And therefore he says that if a chola is, on Yom Kippur, this matters, because sometimes you have a chola that lo aleinu, person so sick that they need to eat on Yom Kippur, but you always ideally try to have pachos mikashir, so you have less than a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras. So you tell them every 9 minutes you should have this amount of food. Let's say it's not enough. They can't do 9 minutes. So the Ramosha says, we don't paskin like that, chasam sofer. 9 minutes is way too much. He says he thinks 4.5 minutes is more reasonable. So if a chola has trouble with 9 minutes, you could do every 4.5 minutes. I don't know, in my experience, every time I've had a cholim that I've had to eat or drink on Yom Kippur, 9 minutes has always been enough, because if you do it consistently, you can get enough liquid and enough food into your system that you'll have energy. But sometimes, I guess, it's not enough, and then a person has to adjust, like Rav Moshe says. Okay, what's the next word in the pasuk? Is sa'ora. Where do we have a shear of sa'ora? Ditanan. Etzem k'sa'ora metami b'magu masa v'ena metami ba'ohel. A bone the size of a sa'ora is metami a person through touch or through carrying it, but it's not metami ba'ohel. You're in the room with an etzem k'sa'ora, you don't become tame from an etzem k'sa'ora, only from magu masa. My dentist told me that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in the shir that this is a shaila for kohanim when it comes to getting dental implants, because they sometimes they'll use human bone for dental implants. So if you're a kohen, is it a problem with magu masa? He said, you mentioned that in the shir, and I keep getting questions about it. You forgot to mention that we paskin that it's okay. So now we mentioned, okay, so it's, we pass. What they use is not really the bone, and it's probably not it's not nearly enough of an etzem kisaora. It's watered down and mixed in with other ingredients and whatever. So don't worry so much. So gefen, what's the shear of gefen? Is kidei revius yayin lenazir. That tells me the shear of a revius wine for a nazir that a nazir is not allowed to drink. Te'ena kigrogeres lotzah shabbos. That in general, when it comes to otzah on Shabbos, one is chayiv for carrying on Shabbos if you carry a substantial amount of that item, and every item has a different substantial amount. But when it comes to the default position is that we assume that the shear is a grogeres, so for food, meaning we assume that a substantial amount of food is a shear grogeres. So if you carry food on Shabbos, so that's why te'eno is mentioned. That's why figs are mentioned. Rimon, why do we mention pomegranates? What shear is a shear of a pomegranate? Ditnan, the Mishnah tells us kol klei balei batim shirim kerimonim, all vessels that are privately owned and not used in business in a business setting to sell, it's just things that you have around the house, we assume that it's still a functional kli as long as the hole in the bottom of the kli is less than a rimon. Meaning when you're a mocher kelim, you're someone who sells kelim, a tiny hole, you're not going to be able to sell it. You already pull it off the shelf. Meaning it's like anything. You're selling food, let's say. So you have an open package of cookies. In your house, you have an open package of cookies, fine, you'll eat it. But if you own a supermarket and you find an open package of cookies on the shelf, you take it off the shelf because that's asking for trouble. No one's going to buy it. Or you have holes in your socks or something. So you cannot sell socks with holes in them. But sometimes people will continue to wear those socks for a little while. So when it comes to clay balei batim shiran kerimonim, that it's the hole is only when the hole is the size of a rimon, do we assume that it's so large that it's no longer functional? It's not even a kli for the balei bayis. We mentioned Zeis Shemen because it's Kol Shiureh Kazesim. All other Shiurim are Kazayis. Says Mark, Kol Shiureh, all Shiurim are Kazayis. Ha'ika Hani Darminan. We just gave a whole list of Shiurim that are not a Kazayis. We went through Achilas Pras Paschitin, we went through Revius Yain. All these other Shiurim are not a Kazayis. Ele'ema Shirov Shiureh Kazesim. No, we don't mean to say that all Shiurim throughout the entire Torah are a Kazayis. We mean most of the shiurim are a kazayis. The Rashi writes that means mace and nevela, chelev, dam, pigul, nosar, tame, giranasha. Meaning there's a whole list of isurim that are a kazayis. From the pashas of the Lashon Rashi, it sounds like if a person drinks dam, which because he doesn't say dam shenikrash, he doesn't say congealed dam. So it sounds like even though you're drinking dam, which is a liquid, the shear is still a kazayis, and the shear is not a revius. So why is that the case? So they quote from Reb Chaim. I saw in the Masifta in the back of the Gemara, they quoted from the Birchas Avram B'Shem Hagrid Salavetchik Zatzal. that Reb Chaim said that the shear of Yisra Achila is Kazayis is not Talui in the Sug HaMa'achal, but it's in the Lashon of the Isra that the Torah said. Since the Torah says the Lashon of Achila, when it talks about the Isra to eat dam, it says you're not allowed to eat dam. So Mela, the shear is a shear of Achila. It's not a shear of Shtia. So that's why it's a Kazayis, even when we talk about dam. Dvash, back in the Gemara, Kikosef Sagas, Abiyom Kippurim. The shear of Dvash, when we think of Dvash, we always think of bee honey. But Dvash in the Gemara is always date honey. So Kosev Sagasa Yom Kippur, that's the shear of Achila and Yom Kippur is a Kosev Sagasa. Alma Doraisaninu, says Gemara, it sounds from here that all of the we quoted all of this to make one point, that all of these shirim are Doraisa. Yet we said in the very last line of yesterday's shir and the very first line of today's shir that all shirim are Alech L'Moshe Sinai, but over here you have explicitly that these are all straight from the Pasuk. So says Gemara, V'tizbro shirim miksivi. Wait, the Pasuk doesn't say how much of each item. The Pasuk, nor does the Pasuk associate it with particular mitzvos and isurim. Ella Hilchasaninu, it must be that it was Halacha Moshe Misinai, Vikras, Machta Bialmahu. The Pasuk is only an Asmachta, but it's not really Dindar Raisa. The Pasuk is only an Asmachta to help us remember the different Shiurim. So the Rishonim raised the question, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Mem Aleph is Mashma that it's a Drasha Gemura and not an Asmachta, because the Gemara over there in Brachos says that Rav Yosef Itaim Rav Yitzchak said that kol ha-muktum b'pasuk says muktum l'bracha, that whatever comes earlier in the pasuk gets priority in terms of reciting a bracha. And the Gemara says pligad Rabbi Chanan, but that's against Rabbi Chanan because Rabbi Chanan says that we use the pasuk to teach me all of the shiurim. If it's only an asmachta, why is that pligad Rabbi Chanan? You could learn this is an asmachta, which is a nice way to remember the different shiurim, and the pasuk could actually be teaching me a different din, a din in kedima of brachos, that if you have two foods in front of you, which one gets a bracha first, that I derived directly from the pasuk. So it sounds from the fact that the Gemara assumes that that's pligad Rabbi Chanan, that Rabbi Chanan is meant as a real din d'oraisa. So Tosa says, yeah, inochinami. According to the maskana of the Gemara, that shiurin miksivi el midraban kras maklabi alma, it turns out that it's not pligad Rabbi Chanan. That the Gemara over there, when it said pligad Rabbi Chanan, is working within the hava amina of our Gemara. However, other Rishonim, the Ra'ah and the Ritva, suggest differently. They suggest that even the din of Rav Yosef, the kolam muktim pasuk is muktim le bracha, is also only an asmachta bialma. And the Gemara, when it's saying pliga, is saying that they use this pasuk for a different asmachta. Pliga doesn't necessarily mean that he disagrees with the halacha. It means that you don't want to use the same pasuk as a memory device for so many different things. So what's the ideal halacha that we use this pasuk as a memory device for? Is it for kedima b'brachos, or is it for the shiurim like we have over here? So that's as far as shiurim are concerned. So we said that there are three things that are halacha l'moshe m'sinai: shiurim, chatzitzin, u'mechitzin. So shiurim, we said, isn't it daraisa? And the answer is no, it's not daraisa. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So now says Gemara, chatzitzin daraisa ninu. The dinim of chatzitz are daraisa. How do I know that? D'chsev, because the pasuk says v'rachatzes besaro b'mayim shalo yedaber chatzitz bein olivin amayim. That tells me you can't have anything in between your basar, your actual body, and water. So kiasa yilchasa l'saaro. Says Gemara, you're right. The fact that you can't have a chatzitza on your body when you go to the mikveh is a din d'oraisa. The fact that you can't have a chatzitza on your hair when you go to the mikveh, that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. K'derabba bar b'chana, d'amar rabba bar b'chana, nima achas k'shura chatzetzes. If you have a hair that's knotted, so that's a chatzitza, because we assume the knot is very tight and the water won't get into the knot. Shalosh einu chatzetz. If three hairs are tangled together, we assume it's not so tight, it's loose enough that water will get in between, so it's not a chatzitza. Shtayim einu yodeh. But when two hairs are tangled together, then we're not sure. So Arunami Daraisa Ninu says, but wait, no. Hair is also a din daraisa. It's not Allah Moshe Misinai. Where does it say about hair in the Pasuk? Tchsiv, Verachatz es Besaro b'mayin. And we darshan es Hatafel b'saro. S includes even that which grows out of your basar, even that which is not part of the basar. Umaynihu, and what is that which is tafel b'saro? Sa'aro, it's a person's hair. So don't you see that hair is also a din daraisa? So which part of chatzitzin is halach l'moshe m'sinai? So says Gemara, you're right. Ki asa hilchasa l'chad Rabbi Yitzchak. The halach l'moshe m'sinai of chatzitza is Rabbi Yitzchak's din. Gam Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Rubo machbed alav chotzeitz. On a daraisa level, when something covers the majority of a person's body and they're makbid, they don't want it there, then it's going to be a chatzitza. But only then is it a chatzitza on a daraisa level. So if a woman decides she wants to go to the mikveh wearing full scuba gear, so that's a chatzitza, because normally she's makbid on not having full scuba gear on, meaning there are at least times in her life that she's makbid, like if she goes to a chasna, she doesn't want to be wearing scuba gear, and it covers the majority of her body, so that's a chatzitza on a daraisa level. But if it's something that she always has there and doesn't mind having it there, and it's a permanent fixture on her body and she's perfectly fine with it, even though it covers the majority of her body, it's not going to be a chatzitza. V'gazru al rubo she'eno makbid mishum rubo ha-makbid, v'al miyuto ha-makbid mishum rubo ha-makbid. But the Rabbanan made a gzeira that if either something covers the majority of her body, or it's something that she's makbid about, even if it's only very tiny, that's going to be chatzitza midrabbanan. Now, when we say chatzitza midrabbanan, it's important to note that means she has to go to the mikveh again. If she came home from the mikveh and she realized that she had a chatzitza midrabbanan on her, you got to go back. You got to do it over again. It's a real chatzitza on a drabban level, but it's a real chatzitza. Now, obviously, every shaila we have of a chatzitza is always in that category of a miyut hamakbid. We never have a category of it. I can't think of a single shaila of a chatzitza that's a rove she'eno makbid. What in the world would cover the majority of one's body that a person is not makbid about? Unless you assume like those rishonim that say that it's rove kal ever ve'ever. That rove is not measured by the entire body, but rove is measured by each and every limb. There are ramach evarim on a person, so some limbs are very small. Your finger itself has three limbs on it, right? By every joint, it's a basar gidin vatsanos. So a fingertip could have a rove, something that's on the fingertip, that could be a chatzitza, that could be a shayla of a chatzitza of a rove, she'eno makbid, potentially, if let's say she has a big ring that she never takes off, you know, one of those gigantic rings that she never takes off. So maybe that would be a shayla, if you held that way, that is rove kaleva veiver. But pashpashat is, it means rove of the entire body and miyut of the entire body. So says the Gemara, v'litzer nami al miyuto sheina makbid mishum miyuto ha makbid inami mishum rubo sheina makbid. Why didn't we carry the gzera one step further? Why didn't we make a gzera on any foreign substance on the body, even if it's a miyut sheina makbid? It's a tiny little thing and you're not even makbid about it. So says Gemara, hi gufa gzera v'ana nekum v'nigzar gzera l'gzera, because rubo sheina makbid and miyut ha makbid is itself a gzeira. So to double up, that would be a gzeira la gzeira. So the Gemara says explicitly that we cannot make such a din. We cannot be machmir on such a level about a gzeira la gzeira. Now, it happens to be that the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that we're machmir not to even allow a miyut she'eno makbid, that a woman has to remove all foreign substances from her body. So let's say a woman has perfectly manicured nails, so she would love if her nails always looked like that. She's not makbid at all about it. The color is a neutral color. She would never be embarrassed having that color on her nails, and it's perfectly manicured, and it's a miyut, it's a smaller part of her body, so you would think, let her go to the mikveh. But the Rama says, no, we're even makbid about, we're even careful not to have any foreign substance, even a miyut she'eno makbid, which causes the achronim fits, because it's a beferish a gemara that's okay. So how can the Rama say, in the name of the Sharidura, how can the Rama say not that way? So okay, so the achronim work on that. As Rav Shachter pointed out, probably it's based on the idea that there are some rishonim that say, rove of kalever ve'ever. So then it could be that even a miyut she'eno makbid might be the majority of a particular limb of the body. This leads to a discussion in the Rambam and the Gaonim. The Shita of the Gaonim is that when we measure rove and miyut, the hair is measured independently of the body, meaning rove of the hair is also called rove. That's the Shita of the Gaonim. And therefore, if rove of the hair is knotted, that would be a chatzitza, even if it's eino makbid, and if it's makbid, it would be a chatzitza daraisa. The Rambam disagrees. When we say es hatafel basaro to include the hair, it means to include the hair as part of the body, not as a separate entity apart from the body. That's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim. And the machlokas is, how do you darshan S? S hatafel basaro, does that mean S as a separate entity, or S as an addition to or a part of the part of the body that gets included in the measuring of what's considered rov and miyut. You know, there's a lot of discussion in poskim. What about like a temporary filling? Sometimes a dentist will put in a woman's not even allowed to have a chatzitza in her mouth, even though you don't need bias mayim in the mouth. She doesn't have to open her mouth in the mikveh, but even you can't have a chatzitza there. It needs to be roi lebias mayim. Kol roi lebila and bila makavas bo, but it needs to be roi for bias mayim. So you can't have a chatzitza in the mouth. So the poskim discuss a temporary filling. A lot of time, a dentist will put in the filling. And then he'll remove it in order to work on the roots, and then he'll put it back in. So he's going to take it out. It's not there forever. And so is that called the miyut hamakbid? Maybe you don't want it there because you're not going to need you're going to need to take it out at some point. So Rashi writes the reason the chatzitza sheino makbid is not a chatzitza is because it's ein sofa litl misham, and therefore it's batel to the guf. So the chora temporary filling is you know, it's not batel the gabe the guf because you're going to need to take it out, and therefore the chazanish holds that a temporary filling is a chatzitza, that if a woman gets a temporary filling, she shouldn't go to the mikvah until the dentist takes out the a permanent filling, that's batel to the guf. You want it to stay there forever. But a temporary filling, chazanish holds it's a problem. So in the Tshuvas Chalkas Yaakov, Rav Preish writes that he thinks it's not a chatzitza, that the person who has that filling is not makbid at any point to remove it. He doesn't care that it stays there b'kvius, he's perfectly happy. It's only the doctor who needs to access the roots that's going to want to take it out in order to access the roots. It's a tough svara to accept, right? Because what do you mean? I go to the dentist so that they can work on the roots because I don't want to be in pain for the rest of my life. So I absolutely want the dentist to take that filling out. Pashto says the better svara is that anytime it's meant to be replaced by something permanent, that will then become batel to the guf. So that part of your body, the shaila is, what do you look at? Do you look at the item that's being chotzeitz, or do you look at the part of your body where the chatzitza is? So if it's the item that's being chotzeitz, ena chinami, that item is going to be removed. It's only temporary. But that part of the body where the chatzitza is always going to have something there. The plan is to always have a permanent filling that ultimately takes its place. So anyway, so the Gemara says this is the status of chatzitza. We asked, can you really say chatzitza is halach l'moshe Mesinai? We just showed it's a pasuk and all that of chatzitza. So the Gemara's answer is the details of chatzitza are halach l'moshe Mesinai. The idea that rubo makbid is daraisa, that's halach l'moshe Mesinai. That rubo sheino makbid and miura makbid is not daraisa, so that is not a chatzitza on the daraisa level. That's what's halach l'moshe Mesinai. And now there's only one left. We already did shiurin, we did chatzitzin, and now our topic, the reason why this comes up here in Maseches Sukkah, mechitzin, right? Why did we quote all this? This all started at the beginning of yesterday's shiur when we said, how do I know that a sukkah is supposed to be 10 tefachim, that less than 10 tefachim is a problem? You need a mechitza of asara tefachim. So we thought maybe you could learn from the Aron HaKaporah, Star HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever is Yorid the Matame Asara, so you see that 10 tefachim is a Rishus Acheres. And we had the possibility that maybe you learn from the Kruvim on top of the Aron, that they're Mesakech B'Knafayim over the Aron, that's 10 tefachim. Or maybe and the final answer was Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, the mechitza or Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Says more mechitza Hadamran. That's what we explained. We said that it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Says more Hanich L'Rabbi Yehuda, the Rameir Meikel Meimar. But wait, that only works if you assume like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. But according to who does not derive the idea of ten tefachim from psukim, but according to our mayor, that the shiurim of kelim in the mikdash are the amos that we use describe amos of six tefachim. So then we're able to derive from the Aron v'Kaporas. We don't need to say it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. So where's the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai of Mechitza if you held that the first answer the Gemara gave as to where we derive 10 Tefachim was a good enough answer? Because the Aron and Kaporas, in fact, was 10 Tefachim. So, Kiasa Yilchsa, the good, beloved of Dov and Akuma. The Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai comes to tell me a number of the unusual details of Hilchas Mechitza, the details of good and lavud and Dov and Akuma. Those are, you know, those are like legal fictions in Hilchos Mechitza, that good Achis Mechitza or good Asik Mechitza, there's no Mechitza there, but we view it as if the Mechitza continues straight up, or Lovud, there's a gap, but we view it as if the gap is closed since it's less than three Tvachim. Dofen Akuma, the wall is bent, but the wall isn't bent, it's not a bent wall, but we view it that way. So the Achronim raised the question, why doesn't the Gemara say that the Halacha comes to the Din to teach me the Din that the Dofen Shlishis is Afilu Tevach? That's also Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Why not tell me that? So the Rashash writes, in a chinami, the fact that the Dofen Shlish is a Tefach is part of good. Good Asik, good Achis is not only vertical, it's also horizontal. I don't know if that's called horizontal. Yeah, but it also goes across. the length of the sukkah, not only the height of the sukkah. The Maritz Chayis writes that the din of shlisha safilu tefach is included in lavud, because how do you create shlisha safilu tefach? Because what I was going to say, you have to position that third wall of the tefach within three tefachim of the other walls to utilize lavud in order to make it rov dofen, in order to make it a valid wall. So it's incorporated already in one of the others. So anyway, bottom line is we've just shown how some element of shiurin, some element of all elements of shiurin actually, some element of chatzitza, the details of chatzitza, and some of the details of mechitza are all in fact halachal Moshe Mitzinai, and that closes that conversation. Then the Mishnah said v'shein lo shalosh tefanos, that if a sukkah does not have three walls, then it is not kosher. So Tan Rabbanan shteim kilchasim shlish safil. The Brisa tells us, what do we mean by three walls? You only need two full walls, and then the third wall could be even a tefach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shalosh kilchasin or revius afilu tefach. No, you need three full walls, and then the fourth wall could be afilu tefach. So b'may kamifli, what is the nekudas hamachlokas over here, whether it's shtayim kilchasin shlish afilu tefach, or shalosh kilchasin and revius afilu tefach? So the Gemara is going to suggest that there are five potential possibilities of what they're arguing about. The Pnei Yeshua says, why don't we just say pashtas, that they're arguing about whether sukkah is diras arai or diras keva, right? If you hold that it's diras arai, so two and a tefach is good enough. If you hold diras keva, then you need three and a tefach. So the Aruch Lener says that can't be the machlokas, because then you would still need to explain, according to the Rabbanan, why do you need shtayim kilchas on a shlishas tefach? If you hold that it's diras arai, why can't you just have four poles and just put schach over it? So we need more than that. We need somewhere to explain to us that there is a minimum of shtayim kilchas on a shlishas tefach, and why someone would disagree that there's got to be shalosh kilchasan and the revius afilu tefach. So five possibilities what they argue about. Possibility number one: Rabbanan savri yeshem lemesaras, Rabbi Shimon savri yeshem lemikra. Sometimes there's a kri and a ksiv. So the Rabbanan hold yeshem lemesaras, we follow the mesaras, and Rabbi Shimon says we follow the way it's read, not the way that it's written. The way that it's read, not the way that it's written. Rabbanan savri yeshem lemesaras. The Rabbanan hold that we follow the mesaras. Pasukos. It's spelled without a vav two of the three times it says it, so it's as if it's written in singular, as if it said basukas the first two times, and then the third time is basukos. So since we're following the way it's written and not the way it's read, harekan arba, it's a total of four sukos being described. Sukas singular, sukos plural is two, so that's a total of four. Dal chadukufei, but one of these psukim is needed just to describe what a sukkah is. So pashalut for pashal pshat, pashalut tlasa, and therefore you have three left to play with. So shtayim kilchasan, so you have two that you require be full walls. And the halacha Moshe Mitzinai takes that third wall and knocks it down to just the tefach. So from the psukim themselves, I would learn three walls. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai always is more makel. That's the yisod that the Rush has in the second paragraph of Baba Kama, that every time you have halacha Moshe Mitzinai, it always comes to be makel. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai never comes to be machmir. Meaning, if I eat nevela, not I, if somebody were to eat nevela, so they're chayiv and onesh for eating nevela. How much nevela would you assume is included in the yisur? So I would have assumed a mashu. So comes halacha Moshe Mitzinai, says, no, kazayis. Less than a kazayis is not going to be an onesh. So it comes to be makel. The question is on the flip side when it comes to mitzvah. I would have thought a mashu of matzah is good enough for mitzvah also. So in that sense, halacha Moshe Mitzinai is machmir. But generally speaking, halacha Moshe Mitzinai comes to be makel. So it takes that third wall and makes it only a tefach. Rabbi Shimon Savar Yeshem Lemikra, basukos, it's read plural all three times. Three times plural is harekan sheish. You start off with six walls. So dal chad krala gufe, but one of the psukim is needed for its own use. So pashlu arba, so you're left with two times it says basukos, which means four walls. Shalosh kilchasan, so three of the walls have to be proper walls. Asayil, so v'gar se lirbi yusuk mea tefach. And alach l'moshim yisina, he knocks down the fourth one and makes it a filu tefach. Makes the fourth wall even a tefach. The Rif writes, the reason the Chazal say yesh eim lemikra, why not yesh av lemikra? Right, we say a binyan av and yesh eim lemikra. The Gemara says avu and dekulu dam, right? Avu and dekulu we use. So he says that whenever it's something that has an ikr to learn to a davar acher, we call that an av, to learn from one place to another. But whenever it's inherent within the parsha itself, then we say aim. So over here it's about how to learn the parsha itself. So it's a stay at home mom. That's the way to remember. Yesh eim lemikra, it stays in this halacha. Whereas an av is always yotzei to a different halacha. That's a binyan av. So Aviva Yisema, second possibility, to Kuli Alma Yesh Eim Lemikra. Maybe everybody agrees. Yesh Eim Lemikra, Vahacha Bahakam Ifli, Marsav Rischach Bayakra, Marsav Rischach Lo Bayakra. Maybe I need to use one of the mechitzos that I'm deriving from this, from the psukim, to teach me about the schach. The schach is also a mechitza. We have many dinim of mechitza that apply to schach. Lavud applies to schach. That's a din of mechitza. So maybe you need a pasuk to tell me about the schach as well. Third possibility, that everyone holds Yeshem Lemesores, and therefore it's Basukas, Basukas, Basukos. So, Vahacha Bahakam Ifgi, Marsav Kiasa Yilchsel Gareya, Umarsav Kiasa Yilchsel Hosin. Maybe the machlokas is, what is the function of the Halacha Moshe Sinai? Is it coming to minimize the size of the last wall, or to maximize, or to add to the number of walls that the Torah tells us about? Vibayisema, fourth possibility, the Kuliyalma Kiasa Yilchsel Gareya, that everyone agrees that Allah tells me a fewer number of walls. The Yesh Eim L'Mesores, and we really say Yesh Eim L'Mesores. V'hacha b'dorshin t'chilos k'mifilgi. Marsav r'dorshin t'chilos, marsav rein dorshin t'chilos. The question is, can you include in the drasha the first time the Torah actually says it? So if you could include the first time, and you don't say dal chad l'gufei, include it in the drasha, the first time that the Torah actually says it, in which case you start with four walls, and then you knock down the fourth one to afilu tevach. Or do you say, no, the first time the Torah says it, that's not included in the drasha, that's l'gufei. So you start with three walls, and you knock down the last one to afilu tevach. And then finally, Rav Nasan, Amar Taimi Rav Shem Mehacha, V'sukkah Tila Tzal Yom Mechor V'lemachsel Master Mizer V'matar. V'also that the sukkah is supposed to be something that that provides protection from the elements. So since it has to protect from the elements, and a sukkah that does not have four walls does not protect from the elements, so it must be a hechsher sukkah is four walls. But Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai knocks down that third wall, fourth wall to even a tefach. Okay, so Bez Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow. That v'osat tefach nechem amid already goes on to the next topic of how to position that tefach in order to make a kosher sukkah. Okay, everyone have a wonderful evening.
You as well, sei gesund.
Take care. Thank you. Have a good night.
Pleasure. Good night.